It's the time of year when the light changes and it comes through there. I hope I appear to you as one with a halo. Well, I know you think of me as angelic, usually. Wasn't that funny, Michael? We've been working our way through the Bible, and it is fairly obvious to me now we're not going to make it all the way through this year, but we have whatever time the Lord has left us to continue to work on it. Today we're going to do a passage from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, the one who, when God called him, says, "Oh, Lord, let somebody else do it. I am too young." And he says, "Nope, I want you." And so Jeremiah kept faith with him. And there are many different things if you were to go back and read the whole of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one who often would make everyday kinds of things and draw from that a lesson to teach the people something about God. Right in the middle of the book of Jeremiah, well, probably not mathematically in the middle, but seems the middle to me, are these following words in the 31st chapter, beginning in the 31st verse. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, 'Know the Lord.' For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." When we talked about Isaiah, we talked about prophetic imagination. That is, those people who have been raised in the confines of the family of Israel, who knew the law that God had given to the people, who knew that the people had consistently not been able to live up to the law. And so the prophets came along at a later point in their history, and they were people who were consumed by the idea of being God's people. Now, for them to be able to engage their imagination, their spiritual wonder, and to come up with new ways of thinking about God, implied that they spent a lot of time thinking about God. Now, if you are a pastor and you have a theological education, much of your life has been spent doing exactly that thing, learning how to think theologically, learning how to think about God. But sometimes we need to move beyond simply being able to think about it and recognize that part of it is when God becomes a part of who we are. One of the doctrines of the Baptist Church has always been that when we accept Christ as our Savior, when we acknowledge our need for a Savior, that the Spirit of God comes and indwells our own. Now, as a child, I was brought up to believe that sometimes we harden our hearts against the Spirit of God being within us. We do that by our actions. We do that by our thoughts. We do that by the things that we choose to devote our time to, so that even though the Spirit of the living God is within us, and the classic quote of that is knocking on the door of our heart, trying to get our attention, we sometimes shut ourselves off to that attention. Now, I say that's a doctrine of the Baptist Church, but it is also a teaching of the Scripture that we're continuing to try to learn. Jeremiah comes on the scene where God's people are just about to be overrun by their enemies. And this prophet of God, this young man who is called to proclaim what God is trying to accomplish in the world, is sent forth with this message: "Go to the king and tell him that he might as well surrender now, for I have decided that you will be overrun. Your actions, your lack of faith, your lack of seeking justice for the least in your community has caused you to come under my judgment, and my judgment will be exercised by a power coming down from the north to take over." This is a concept that is almost impossible for us to imagine. When South Park decided that the Canadians were going to come in and invade the United States, it was done in a sense of comedy. because we couldn't imagine such a thing. But Israel, at the crossroads of the world, found themselves constantly tossed hither and yon by whatever power surrounded them rose to prominence at that particular time. So Jeremiah comes at a time where God has said, I have brought good, and I am now going to bring evil to you. Now that requires some thinking about God, because we don't often think about God that way. We often think about God as only wanting good for us. But sometimes we must recognize that the lessons that life sends us might also come to us at the hands of God. But we need to be very, very careful about this, because there's that whole sense of agency and cause and effect and all of those things. But the overall message of Jeremiah is that even though the people had failed to keep the covenant, even though the people had failed to keep faith with God, God had not stopped caring for them. And in this passage, which follows along a little piece that we ought to always remember, where Jeremiah says, in those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But rather, every person will be judged for themselves. But here is God's goal. And it is quoted here, it is said in Jeremiah, it is quoted again in the book of Hebrews that Emily read earlier, that the day is coming where we won't have to look to the tablets of stone. We won't have to look to that which is written in the past. We'll be able to look at that which is written on our hearts, or in Hebrews they had moved ahead a little bit and thinking about that which was written in our mind. The essence is that it will become internalized. It will become a part of us. No longer will anyone have to teach one another, because then the presence of God, the understanding of God being with all of us, will be with all. Now, the question comes to us in this day, long after Jeremiah, long after the book of Hebrews is written, how long, O Lord? Because we still live in a time where voices to the left, voices to the right, voices in the middle are saying, here is God, here's how God acts, here's what God wants. Because we still haven't gotten to that point in our lives yet where it is so much a part of us that we no longer even have to wonder about it. Because it is a part of who we are. And then on that day, we will find ourselves able to make the decisions that we need to make, and we will make the decisions that God would have us to make. But in the meantime, and it certainly seems to me that there is a meantime, we will continue to come together. We will talk about, we will think about the things that God has taught us about God's essential nature down through the ages. We will ask ourselves, what are the lessons that we need to learn from that today? And we will continue to recreate through the symbols of the church, through the actions of the church, those things that we think are important, those things that we think teach us something about God. And hopefully, we will be able to resist those things that even when they are spoken in the name of God, we are absolutely certain aren't the things of God. But to do that, we must acknowledge that there are continuing voices out there who can lead us astray. Jesus was once asked, how will we know when the end is near? And Jesus said, many will come saying in my name, now is the time. But it won't be. Because he says, you will be surprised when it does come upon you. There is a concept called now but not yet that permeates all of the scripture. God's kingdom is with us now, but it has not fully arrived. God is with us, but we don't fully recognize his presence with us. But we simply look back to the mighty acts of God, and that's exactly what Jeremiah is doing. Jeremiah is saying, when we were nobodies, when we were no people, God took us by the hand and led us into the promised land. Now you see, that's a whole different kind of image than you get if you just go back and read the original story of the Exodus. Because there was a whole lot more involved there. There was a king who didn't want the people to go. There was destruction from those who tried to follow across the Dead Sea as it opened up, but weren't a part of those who were invited. But as Israel remembered that story, as the people of God thought about what their God had done for them, they remembered that he took them by the hand and led them into the promised land. And even when they arrived in the promised land, they were a grumbling, complaining people. Boy, life doesn't change much with the millennia as they pass, does it? But God continues to care for the people, and the day is coming. And maybe, just maybe, he's already writing on our hearts, but we just don't have the whole picture yet. Because for each and every one of us, there are times when it seems like we don't even have to think about it. We just know in this particular case. The prophets were a people who came to their own people with a message that they believed was from God himself. And sometimes people heard that message gladly, and sometimes they heard it and it made them angry. Jeremiah is one that had a little bit of both, but because we continue to have it today, we know that it lodged in the core of God's people, and they preserved it so that we might have it today. The king, however, when he received this word that we ought to just surrender because it is futile to resist God's way, said, take him away from here and put him in a place where I don't have to hear from him again. And so they took him and they cast him into a dry cistern, which is not something that's even a part of our lives. It's a big old water barrel with no water in it. And he sat down there in the mud and the muck. And can't you just imagine? Lord, is this what you had in mind? Is this what you had in mind? But we remember through the story of Jeremiah and through the story of Jesus that we will recreate with the meal we will have in a few minutes, that out of defeat, out of distrust, out of rebellion to people that hear it, God is able to bring victory. He is able to bring healing and able to bring restoration. There are people, I think of them as saints myself, who have the word in their hearts. They may practice it in ways that we don't always know, but it is there. And it seems to me that the call of God to us as the people of God would be to try to live our lives in such a way that that word becomes more a part of us. But one of the ways that that happens is by encountering the word as it has been given to us. Paul put it in this way, and I'll leave you with this thought. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, as we come into your presence, we encounter tidbits of your word every Sunday, sometimes more or less in Sunday school, sometimes more or less in worship. Help us to know that every time we open the book, every time the words are spoken, there is an opportunity for them to become a part of our lives. Help us to turn from those things which keep us from knowing you fully. Help us to let go of hurt feelings toward others. Help us to let go of always demanding our own way. Help us to remember that you called us to be a community of faith so that we might be a witness in the world today, a witness of the people who believe that you still speak to us, that you still call people to call others to faith and to obedience. Help us to remember that we are your people. And we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. After our communion hymn, number 2266, we will invite you to come and remember the victory that sprang from defeat.
eaten the bread, Jesus took the cup that was before him and passed it to them as well.
Before we form
the fellowship circle, as you almost were reading up to do. One of the things that has become obvious to us with Edwin's passing is somebody else has to take up the torch of sacrifice in particular. And Mark Kendry has asked me to ask the men of the church if they would be willing to serve during one of the winter months when Edwin always had a fall fever anyway. So if you're a man and are willing to do that either in January, February, or March, raise your hand so I know we have enough people to do it. I feel confident that we would. I will let you know when that happens. Now let's go on a fellowship circle in our usual practice of singing. Bless be the time.